Hello, everybody. How's it going? Welcome back to the Justin Rogers Sports Podcast. The first podcast since, I want to say, last year. Yeah, this is going to be the first podcast of the new year. And then I feel like the last few podcasts that I recorded, if I remember correctly, I didn't even release it to the public. The last podcasts that I recorded were a part of my senior project. So it's been a long time since I've actually released a podcast, and I don't even know where to begin, to be honest. It's been that long. I'm trying to figure out how I should start this thing off. I guess I'll start it off by kind of giving you all an update on what I've been up to lately. For those of you who do not know, I recently graduated from Sonoma State University. I got my degree in communications, and yeah, so I finished in December, and ever since then, I've just been kind of taking it easy. I've been interning for the athletic department still. I've been doing highlights and writing recap articles for the school's basketball team, which I've actually really come to enjoy, and we got to witness some really awesome games from the men's basketball team. I'm actually really enjoying that, and I've also become more passionate about writing in the process. So my experience with that has been pretty good. The Sonoma State men's team, I want to say they're like 16-5, 15-5 right now. They're almost in first place in the CCAA, the conference that they play in Division II. So that's been a lot of fun. I just recently went to Pack the Den night they had there, and it was the largest attendance in Sonoma State basketball history. There's 2,080 people there, and the way they remodeled the Wolves Den, it feels more like a college basketball atmosphere. It actually looks really nice, and I'm glad I was able to work that event. That was truly something special, and that was without a doubt my favorite game to cover. What else have I been up to lately? Other than that, kind of just relax and just going with the flow of things, taking it easy. I've applied to some jobs, waiting to hear back. Who knows if I will? That's definitely the most intimidating thing about being a college graduate, is now I have to I don't have an excuse for not trying to find a job. I'm used to having my whole semesters planned and everything, but And being able to use school as an excuse and having like a full schedule and knowing exactly what I need to do. And now it's just like, oh, you're done. You're working part-time at In-N-Out right now and interning. You got to find a job. So I've been searching for a job. Haven't been too successful yet, but it's still early. It's only February, beginning of February. And what else have I been doing? Been hanging out with my girlfriend. I've been what else have I been doing? Honestly, not much, really. Just been kind of taking it easy, relaxing. I've been playing a lot of 2K, but I kind of stopped this week because I'm on a bit of a losing streak on my team. Lost quite a bit, so haven't really been playing much there. But yeah, I've had a lot of time on my hands, so I decided what better way to spend my time than actually be productive and doing a podcast, because I haven't done one, like I said, since last year, and kind of got that itch to start doing it again. I kind of lost it for a while, which was unfortunate, but I figured, hey, I got a new desk, like I have a whole setup in my room for writing and podcasting, and I have this awesome microphone that I unfortunately haven't used as much as I would have liked to. So figured, hey, I want to talk about sports. I haven't done so in a while. Might as well put all my stuff to good use. Might as well make something out of my day. And there hasn't really been anything going on in sports today. I mean, it's the middle of a Tuesday afternoon, so not really much going on right now. So I guess I would just spend this podcast kind of talking about, obviously, the big game that happened over the week in the Super Bowl. The Patriots, they had their parade today, and I mean, my one takeaway from that was Twitter kind of like exploding about how Gronk was his typical party animal self. I mean, he's really developed that reputation of being like a party animal, and he definitely lived that up today. But he said he was giving the fans what they wanted. They wanted Gronk to rage, and he had to give the best fans in the world. Those are his words, not mine. He said he had to give the best fans in the world what they wanted, and they wanted him to party, so he obliged. And we saw a bunch of shirtless pictures of Gronkowski catching a beer from a fan and then shotgunning the beer and spiking it, which, not gonna lie, that was pretty badass. I got a good kick out of that. He definitely livens up the league. He's an interesting character. But one thing that I thought was funny from that was Steve Peralt from Bleacher Report. I hope I'm saying that right. Steve Peralt. Anyways, he was at the parade, and he had videotaped the Gronk festivities, for lack of a better word. He videotaped him spiking the beer that he shotgunned. And then ESPN asked via Twitter if they could use his video footage for ESPN. he said no, because they started Deflategate. So I got a good kick out of that, and so did Twitter. Hey, that's one way to make a name for himself. I checked out his Twitter profile, and he had about 5,500 followers. I don't know if like a bulk of them were from that, or if it was from before, because he is a reporter. So I don't know, but I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah, that's pretty much all the exciting stuff in sports so far today. So, like I said, I wanted to go ahead and talk about the biggest game that occurred over the weekend, the Super Bowl, in which the Patriots beat the Falcons 34-28 in a game where the Falcons once held a 28-3 lead in the second half and had a 98.9% chance of winning from that point. And the main question that I kind of want to cover, the main topic I want to cover, is what should this be viewed as, an epic comeback, or did the Falcons just flat out collapse? And while I do agree that the Falcons did indeed collapse, it was pretty bad collapse, actually. From a historical perspective, I still think it should be remembered as an epic comeback, because honestly, a lot had to go the Patriots' way, a lot had to go wrong for the Falcons, just in order to make this happen. I mean, even though they collapsed, the Patriots still had to produce and capitalize on the Falcons' mistakes, and they did just that. Like I said, though, the score was 28-3 in the third quarter, and then a touchdown by James White, who had a really impressive game. I've never really heard of James White really doing anything too productive, because LeGarrette Blount has been the main back for the Patriots, but I believe he left the game due to injury. But James White filled in nice. He had 29 rushing yards. He had 2 touchdowns on the ground. He also had 14 receptions for 110 yards and 1 receiving touchdown. So 3 touchdowns total. And I don't know, that just seems to be like the Patriots' MO, their mantra. I don't know how to describe it, but that just seems so Patriots-like for kind of like the most random names stepping up and making huge contributions. Like in the AFC Championship, you had Chris Hogan going off, who I believe he was cut like 2 different times before becoming a Patriot and then making those contributions. Then you have Danny Amendola and Julian Edelman, who I believe before they started making big plays for the Patriots, they really were just viewed as average receivers. And I mean, when you have Tom Brady, I guess when you have a great quarterback like him, you can make anyone look like a superstar. So yeah, his touchdown made the game 28-9. They missed the PAT, and then later on, either the next drive or a couple drives later, they got a field goal to make the score 28-12, and then that's when the game, I feel, really started to turn. Because after that, some really, really critical mistakes happened on the Falcons' end. Tevin Coleman missed a block, which Matt Ryan got absolutely obliterated and proceeded to fumble the ball just because he got blindsided. I was watching it too when I saw the defender just go right past Coleman, and I was like, oh no, this isn't going to be good. Ryan's not even moving like he recognizes someone's coming at him, and sure enough, he just got blasted. He fumbled it. Patriots recovered, and then that led to a touchdown and a 2-point conversion, which made the score 28-20. And then after that, the ensuing possession, late in the fourth quarter, the Falcons looked like they were driving. They looked like they're in good position to kind of ice the game and run out the clock. Devontae Freeman, he had a huge gain on a reception. And then I think he took it like 30-something yards. And then Julio Jones had a phenomenal catch on the sidelines. I have no idea how he caught it. Matt Ryan placed it perfectly where only Julio Jones could catch it. And he just made like this acrobatic kind of like stretched out dive while managing to keep both feet in bounds. And that was one of the most incredible clutch catches that I've seen in quite some time. Then the Falcons were in field goal range at that point. All they needed to do was run. They would have taken a lot of time off the clock. They may not have run the clock down, but they would have been in field goal range. Would have been a 2-possession game, and there would not have been a lot of time left in the ball game. But instead, on first down, Matt Ryan dropped back and took an 11-yard sack, which took them out of field goal range. I think it took him from, like, the 23-yard line to, like, the 34, 35-yard line, which, I mean, it may not have been out of field goal range, but it is definitely pushing it. They're definitely close to being out of field goal range. But nevertheless, what could go wrong did go wrong on the ensuing plays, because right after that, they had a holding penalty on third down, which really took them completely out of field goal range. And it just makes me think, why not run? Why are you passing? I mean, I guess there you kind of want to gain some yardage to get back in field goal range, but I mean, even after the holding play, they gained a few yards and that was that. They're out of field goal range. And then so they had to punt the ball, which gave Brady, one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game, a chance to lead the team down the field and tie it. And right after that, I kind of got it in my mind, oh, well, they're probably going to come back. For those of you who don't know, I was rooting for the Falcons. I've seen the Patriots win a lot in my lifetime, so I wanted to see the Falcons win. I'm not the biggest Brady or Belichick fan. I don't hate them, but I don't know, I'm just not their biggest fan. But I respect greatness where respect is due, and I respect the hell out of what Tom Brady has done for the quarterback position, what he's done for the NFL, even despite all the various allegations that have come the Patriots' way over the course of the last decade or so. But anyways, so the Patriots had the ball on the 9-yard line. I'm thinking in my head, oh man, somehow they're going to pull this off. I just know it. But part of me wanted to be like, ah, no, the Falcons got it. Part of me wanted to think that, but deep down I knew the Patriots were going to get it done. Especially when Julian Edelman made probably like the best catch in Super Bowl history, one of the best catches ever, off of a defender's leg. And I was just, that was the real moment where I knew without a doubt the Patriots were going to win. And that's just because I was just like, oh my God, like, everything's going right for the Patriots. They are catching every single little break. That mixed with the fact that the Falcons' defense was so overworked on the field. They were on the field for way too long in that game. And you could tell they were extremely tired because in the first half, they were a completely different team. They were shutting down the Patriots. They weren't allowing any separation, weren't allowing the receivers to get any separation off of them. And then in the second half, mostly the fourth quarter, it was just like they were getting beat by someone on every single play. And so that was really the big play when I was just like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, it's just meant to be. It really is. Like, Tom Brady's that good, and the Patriots are just that good. And lo and behold, Danny Amendola scored a touchdown. They converted a two-point conversion to send the game to overtime. And, of course, the Patriots won the coin flip. And I was like, oh, no, it's over. Atlanta has no chance. They can't stop them at all. And the Patriots just ran all over the Falcons. And James White, he scored the touchdown to win the game. So that's pretty much how that ended. And really, really disappointing for me. I'm disappointed the Falcons didn't win, but I'm happy that the game ended up being a really good game. And I respect how Tom Brady played that game. His fourth Super Bowl MVP, his fifth Super Bowl championship total. All the talks are going, who's better, him or Joe Montana? And it's definitely a conversation to have. Tom Brady has been an elite quarterback for his entire career, and for him to still be doing that, he's almost 40 years old, and he says he still has like 3 to 5 years left. I'm impressed. I tip my cap to the training staff of the Patriots for being able to keep him in shape and keep his arm strong, and for him to not really lose any of the skills that has made him such a great quarterback, even at this age. It's really impressive, to be honest. I mean, he still has the arm strength, he still has the accuracy, he pretty much has everything. So that is really impressive. Another reason I'm kind of just glad football's over, because now I can just focus on the Warriors, focus on the Sharks, and then that means baseball season is starting soon. Pitchers and catchers are reporting within the next week or so. So I'm extremely happy for that, and I'm going to be doing another podcast. I don't know if today or sometime this week, but I'm definitely going to be doing a podcast regarding baseball. But another reason why I'm happy that football season is over is because now the 49ers have officially announced the signing of Kyle Shanahan as their head coach. And even though things did not go the way that most of America envisioned at the start of that second half, I mean, I still think it's a great hire. Some questions I have are, why not run the ball? I don't know. They weren't really gaining much on the ground, but they hardly ran, so I don't know. That's just some questions I have. I feel like this is one of those situations that he won't make that same mistake again. At least I hope not. Then again, who knows if the 49ers will ever be in a position to make that mistake or avoid that mistake, because they're a pretty awful team, and we all know that. They have so many holes on their roster, and I mean, where do you even begin? One bright spot is they have like 80-something, 90-something million dollars in cap space for them to spend in this offseason. So they better spend on some free agents. They better draft well. I am curious to see how this draft process goes. You have John Lynch, who's a first-time GM, never held a front office position before, but what I do like is the fact that he's a former player, he's a fairly great player, he's been on the ballot for the Hall of Fame, he knows what he's talking about, he's admitted that he knows what he doesn't know, which is kind of a confusing claim, but he knows what he needs work on, and he hired Adam Peters to be, I believe it was the president of player personnel or something of that nature, to the point where he's really good at evaluating players. So that'll be great. We'll see how the draft goes. I'm curious to see how they draft, who they will draft, if they'll go defense, if they'll get a quarterback, which they so desperately need. And even if that, who will they draft at quarterback? Will it be Deshaun Watson? Will it be Deshaun Kizer? Will it be Mitch Trubisky from North Carolina? Or will it be Myles Garrett, a defender, who would pair nicely with Navarro Bowman, not going to lie. We'll see who they target in free agency. Will it be Alshon Jeffrey? Will it be another receiver? Will it be another type of offensive weapon? Will it be a lineman? Will it be someone on the defensive end? Will they build their secondary? Will they add depth to their linebackers, their D-line? Who knows? I'm excited, though. For some odd reason, even though I'm not expecting a lot this season, I do expect them to be better than last season because they have a better coach. I mean, just looking at the stats that Atlanta's offense put up under Kyle Shanahan's lead at the offensive coordinator position, Atlanta averaged 33.8 points per game. They're the highest scoring team in the NFL. Matt Ryan went from being a solid quarterback, just like, oh, he's good to lead them to the playoffs, but not really good enough to lead them to a Super Bowl. He went from being that kind of quarterback to being the NFL MVP this season. And then they also had a franchise record 415 yards per game on the offensive end. So a lot to be excited about, especially for the Niners, who had one of the worst offenses. The only question is, will they get enough talent to improve upon that and eventually get back to where they were under Jim Harbaugh's lead? And how long will it take them to get back to being a contender? Will they ever become a contender under this new coaching staff, under this new personnel? I don't know. Your guess is probably as good as mine. But despite Atlanta's collapse in the Super Bowl, I really am optimistic about this 49ers coaching staff, and I think you should be too. I mean, it's kind of makes you, I can't think of the right word, but it makes me curious as to why they gave him 6-year contracts. I think that seems a little excessive, but that's putting a lot of trust in the coaching staff. It also makes me wonder if they had to do that just to show some consistency and show they weren't in jeopardy of losing their job after one season, like Chip Kelly or Jim Tomsula. I don't know. The 49ers are a bit of a mess, and I think a bit is a really big understatement. They are a huge mess. but I'm excited to see where it goes. I'm excited to see who they sign, who they draft, and the roster that they put out there come next season. Anyways, that's all the time I have for podcasting right now. I had the debate with myself internally during this podcast if I wanted to make it longer and include baseball and some basketball in there, maybe some hockey, some Sharks, but I ultimately decided I kind of just wanted to focus on football for this one. One thing I learned from taking my senior seminar class is my professor told me that sometimes less is more. And what he meant by that is sometimes talking about less topics in your podcast can lead to better results, more clarity, more depth, more details. And so that's something, at least when I was podcasting for my senior seminar class, that was something I was practicing on. And I think because of that, I've become a better podcaster. Then again, who knows? Maybe I'm totally rusty. I haven't podcasted in a long time. So I don't know. I like this idea. I like going with the shorter format, focusing more on a single topic. And I think that's what I'm going to be doing from here on out, at least for now. I'm going to be doing podcasts where I only focus at least on one sport, maybe two at most, but I won't go from like Niners to Giants to Warriors to Sharks all in one podcast. That's kind of all over the place for me. I don't know. Maybe I'll find a new format. I'm still thinking of ideas, maybe some ways to incorporate some entertainment into here, like fantasy sports or something, or maybe talk about my experiences in NBA 2K. I don't know. We'll see. But for now, I'm sticking primarily for Bay Area sports. Although this was primarily not a Bay Area sports podcast, except for the fact that it had Kyle Shanahan in it. And I ended it with some Niners talk. So yeah, that was my Bay Area sports bit for this podcast. Like I said a little earlier in this podcast, I'm probably going to be doing another one. Maybe I might even record it right now. Who knows? I'll record it definitely within the next couple days on the Giants, because I actually got this pretty cool baseball preview magazine in the mail that came with the Sunday's newspaper, and I was reading it earlier, and I thought it was pretty cool because they outline every major league roster and outline projections for this upcoming season. They had a lot of information, so I think I'm going to do a podcast where I kind of review this magazine, just talk about what I find interesting in it, what I find interesting about the predictions. So look for that in the coming days. In the meantime, though, I hope you're enjoying your week, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I apologize if I sounded rusty. I apologize if I sound congested. I am getting over a cold. I was actually pretty sick, so today is the first day I actually felt good enough to podcast. So yeah, anyways, just be on the lookout in the next couple of days. In the meantime, I hope you enjoy your week, and I will talk to you all very soon. Thank you.